5 weeks is based in the practices that are taught in Burma. The teachers that came to the in the West that have brought this practice to us practiced in Burma with the teachers there and have really done a wonderful service to us to bring these practices to a Western context. So I'll be mostly teaching as the Western teachers have taught these practices as they're brought from Burma. It's not exactly the way they're taught in Burma, as I now can attest for myself. But it covers the same ground and tends to be a little more accessible to us with our own background. So the basic definition of mindfulness is to pay attention to what's happening while it's happening. And if I were to tell you to just sit down and say, pay attention to whatever's happening, and that's our meditation, there's a good chance that most of us wouldn't really be able to figure out what that meant or be able to do that. So we begin by focusing the attention on particular objects of meditation. In particular, we'll start out by focusing on the breath. So that's mostly what we'll focus on this evening. We'll talk about the basics of posture, and we'll talk about how to bring meditative attention to the breath. Then over the subsequent weeks, we'll expand the instructions to include more and more aspects of our experience. So next week, we'll talk about bringing our attention to our whole body, not just the sensations of the breath in our body, but the whole body. And then the following week, we'll talk about opening it up to sensations in our emotional sensations, to our mind. And then the following week, we'll even talk about how to bring mindful awareness to the thinking process. And the fifth week, we'll open it up even further to how do we take the mindful practice off the cushion, out of the actual formal meditation, and into our daily lives. So that's the basic scheme that we're going to go through over the next 5 weeks. And the instructions will build one on the other, so that tonight you'll start to get a little bit of a familiarity with what it means to pay attention to sensations in the body through the sensations of breathing. And next week we'll open that up to include more sensations in the body. And then when we expand to going to emotions, we'll find that it's very helpful to be able to ground our attention in the body while we're feeling a strong emotion. And likewise with thoughts, it's helpful to have a grounding in the emotions that can trigger thoughts and the bodily sensations that can trigger thoughts in order to pay attention to the process of thinking. So the scheme will, the instructions will build on each other from week to week. But if you happen to miss a week, that's okay. I mean, just come anyway. So there are a number of benefits to meditation, and I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the studies showing the health benefits, particularly around reducing stress, calming the body, calming the mind. The meditation has a very helpful way to help us collect our thoughts and still our thoughts in our body. And that stillness and that calming are very healing. The calming process can bring a very healing quality of energy to the body. But beyond the simple process of calming the mind and tranquilizing the body and relieving stress, the practice of mindfulness meditation has the possibility to really show us how our minds function, how we live in a lot of reactivity to our experience. We don't often simply just live our lives through, we don't really live through the contact with our direct experience. We touch in a little bit to our experience, and then we're off into thoughts about it. So, you know, we'll see something, and then the moment after we've seen it, we'll be telling ourselves a whole narrative about the thing that we've seen. And we've kind of lost contact with our direct experience through the thoughts that we're constructing in our mind. So the way that we do that, that process, it's a very habitual pattern and a very normal pattern that we see something and we start to think about it. We see something, we react to it. We see something we like, we want it. We see something we don't like, we don't want it. So it's a very normal process. But that process of reactivity underlies a lot of our difficulties in our lives. And in learning how to relate to our experience with a little less reactivity, we can really have a much smoother pathway through our lives. And then even beyond that, this particular form of mindfulness practice has the ability to really deeply cut into the ways that we suffer, the ways that we construct our difficulties in our life, and has the possibility of truly transforming our minds to become free. So the heart of this practice that I'm going to be teaching you is mindfulness. And mindfulness has two basic components. It's the knowing what is happening while it's happening. So there's that knowing quality, an awareness of what is happening while it's happening. And there's a non-judgmental quality to that awareness, so that there's not a judge in there saying this is good or this is bad. It simply recognizes it as it is, kind of like a mirror reflects an object. The quality of mindful awareness is really like that mirror. A mirror doesn't rebel if something ugly is put in front of it. It simply reflects it just as it is. And that's the way the mindfulness can be in our life, simply reflecting what is experienced directly. So this quality of knowing what is happening while it's happening is a very normal part of our lives. It happens all the time. It's not some obscure or rarefied state of consciousness. It's a natural thing that happens to us. We're built that way. We're built to know what's happening while it's happening. But what is less common for us is to be able to sustain that ability. So as I mentioned before, you know, we have a moment where we know what's happening while it's happening. We stick our hand in hot water and we know it's hot when our hand is in that hot water. But an instant later, when we've yanked it out, we're on the path of criticizing ourselves for having just turned the hot water on and not having mixed it with cold, and berating ourselves, or something along those lines, or anything that I'm sure you know the kinds of things I'm thinking about. So with that movement in, we touch into our experience with moments of mindfulness and then go into our thoughts and into our experience and into our thoughts. So we don't often have the sustained experience of just being aware of what's happening while it's happening without that reactivity and thinking and narrative going on around it. So that's the quality that we're trying to start to cultivate in mindfulness meditation. Just being aware of what's happening while it's happening with as little reactivity as possible. So when we sit down to meditate, often what happens, we sit down and we close our eyes and we think, okay, I'm going to meditate now. I'm going to pay attention to what's happening. And in this case, we'll start with the breath. So I'm going to start by paying attention to the breath, stay with the sensations of breathing. And after 2 or 3 minutes, if we're lucky, we're off in some thought. We're planning, we're remembering, we're fantasizing, we're arguing with somebody in our minds, we're figuring out a problem that we have to do at work. So the mind just kind of naturally goes out very quickly after we start to meditate. So this is quite normal. When you see this, there's no need to be frustrated or judge yourself or think that you can't do the practice. This is what happens when we sit down to meditate. I've been meditating for a number of years, and this is still what happens to me when I sit down to meditate. So, you know, it does get to the point where it gets better and that you can stay present for longer and longer, but the mind will wander. So that's just something we have to accept and hopefully not have too much judgment around. So as I mentioned earlier, if I were to just tell you to sit down and pay attention to whatever's happening, it would be kind of challenging. So we start with a particular object, a particular thing to pay attention to in the present moment. And what we choose as an initial object, and it's one that is used throughout the world in most forms of meditation, many forms of meditation through many different traditions use the breath as a focus for meditation. So it's a great object for meditation. It has a number of good qualities to it. It's always in the present moment. Wherever you are, your breath is with you. And it's a relatively neutral object. So that is, most people don't have too much reactivity to the fact that they're breathing. Some people can. If you have that experience where you find that you're very reactive to the breathing process itself, come and talk to me and we'll find another primary thing, object for you to pay attention to. It also is a changing object. It comes in and it goes out. It's got that quality of change. And an object that changes can be a little easier to attend to hold our attention. If we're trying to attend to something that's not changing, it's often harder to hold our attention fixed on it. So the fact that it changes is helpful. And then it's also got a cyclic quality. It comes in and goes out, and comes in and goes out. Each breath appears and disappears. And that's a very important quality for the opening to the experience of impermanence, of seeing that things are continually changing. It's a very key piece to the practice of mindfulness meditation, seeing how things change. So it's not easy to do this practice. We try to stay with our breath, we sit down and we try to meditate, and what we initially see is how difficult it is to do. We initially see that the mind doesn't want to be there. It constructs all kinds of reasons why it shouldn't be there. But this is actually something that we begin to learn about our minds. We start to see the things that pull us away, the kind of patterns of our thoughts that pull us away from trying to pay attention in the moment. So we begin to uncover some of the habitual patterns of our mind. But through this simple object, this simple practice of trying to stay with the breath, we learn a tremendous amount about how we react to things and are we always running towards things we want? Are we always pushing things away that we don't want? We really begin to see in this very simple act of trying to come back to the breath, it seems to reveal to us the ways in which we react to everything in the world. And this is an interesting aspect of our minds, actually, that the ways that we react to the small things, the ways that we react to this coming back to the breath, the way that we might react to an irritation when our alarm clock goes off in the morning, those patterns in our mind, the way that we construct that irritation or that boredom or that frustration is very similar to the way we construct the larger suffering in our life, the way we react to relationships and jobs or home situations. They're very similar, the way the mind functions. So it really begins to show us at a very, in a very minute or, you know, very controlled way how our mind reacts to things. So it's hard for almost everyone to do this. So don't be discouraged, hopefully. Don't be discouraged. So even when staying with the breath is difficult, we are learning something about our minds. Gil Fronsdahl, who is the main teacher at this center, likes to say that mindfulness works even when it doesn't seem to be working. And he uses a wonderful analogy for this, that if you have a stream that is running pretty deep, so the stream is smooth. You can't really see the current of the stream. But if you take a stick and put the stick in the stream, you'll see the wake formed around the stick because you've got a reference point. So what we're starting to do with paying attention to the breath, it's like that stick in the stream. It's like a reference point in our experience, and it reveals the current or the momentum or the flow of our mind. So even though it seems as though it's not working because all we see is our mind going out and then trying to come back, it's serving as that reference point, that stick, to show us the current of our mind. If we didn't have that stick there, we wouldn't necessarily be aware of our mind kind of flitting all over the place. It just feels like the normal thing that our mind does. So over time, it does get easier, and it'll create a space around our habits of mind. This practice of bringing our awareness will create a space around our reactivity, and we'll really start to see that we've got some choice in how we respond to the world around us, how we respond to our own reactivity, to our own minds. So that's an overview of what I'm going to talk about both tonight and over the next few weeks. And I'd just like to just open it up now to find out if there's any questions, logistical questions, or about anything I've said. I will have some more to say tonight about posture, and then we'll do a guided meditation where I'll take you through some of the steps of meditation. But I just want to find out if there's any questions about what I've said so far. Okay. So one thing I forgot to mention is that this class, as with all classes taught at this center, are given on a donation basis only. So there's no fee charged for the class. I am not paid by the meditation center, but there are two slots out in a box by the door where, if you wish, at the end of the session, you may put in a donation either to me or to the meditation center, or to both if you wish, to support the running of this center. So we do not charge fees for any of our courses here. And it really comes back to the tradition from the Burmese, the Buddhist tradition, the very old ancient Buddhist tradition, where the teachings were offered freely on a donation basis back to the time of the Buddha. And I'm really happy to be involved in this particular form of generosity. It really is quite inspiring to me to just come up here and offer what I have freely and accept whatever is offered in return. So that's available, and if you are inspired by the practice and inspired by what the center offers, feel free. If you're not, then find another place for your donation. Okay, so I'll start by talking a little bit about posture. This is often something that a lot of people have questions about, so we'll just begin with a little bit of a discussion about how to work with meditation posture. So this meditation practice can be done in any posture. It doesn't need, you can be standing, you can be walking, you can be sitting, you can be lying down. However, most people generally find that a still posture is most conducive to getting the mind settled, at least initially. We do have a formal walking practice in this tradition, but most people really appreciate the stillness of either a sitting, standing, or lying posture. And in terms of alertness, it's most helpful if you can be either in a vertical position. I do have to do quite a bit of my own meditation on my back because I have a back injury. And I can testify to the fact that it takes a lot of will to stay awake. So unless you have some physical reason why it's difficult for you to sit or stand for meditation, I really recommend that you do sit or stand. The standing posture is also a good one, particularly if you're sleepy. It's a good one to work with. But most people do find that the sitting posture is the most comfortable way to get into this meditation. So I'll talk about mostly the sitting posture this evening. So you can sit in a chair, on a bench, on a cushion. Any of these are fine. It's helpful to have kind of a balance between alertness and relaxation. So if you're sitting on the floor, and if some of you in chairs are interested in trying sitting on the floor, the cushions over here are available, so you're welcome to take them and try sitting on the floor. So if you're sitting on the floor, there's a number of different ways you can do that. You can use the number of different kinds of cushions. You can use the round kind of cushion. And if you're sitting on a round kind of cushion, it's often helpful to sit on the front third of it and kind of let your pelvis roll a little bit forward so that you've got a slight curve in your lower back, which helps to support the straightness of your spine. Then there's this curved kind of cushion, which is really helpful for some people because it kind of allows you to get your ankles back in a little further. So, and it also provides some support for the legs here. So a lot of people find these very comfortable. You can also use a bench, which you can use in a kneeling fashion. So it's like this, and you would use it. Like that. This one's nice because it's curved on the bottom, so it can adjust to whatever angle it works for you. And then you can also sit on one of these round cushions between your knees, kind of as if you would sit on a bench, the way I'm doing. So there's a number of different ways that you can sit on the floor. If you're sitting on a chair, it's helpful to hopefully have your knees at either equal to or lower than your hips so that they're not tilted up a little bit. That kind of contraction in the hip can cause a little bit of irritation or jitteriness in the hip. So the alignment of the spine, it's helpful to get the spine aligned when you're going to be practicing meditation. So a trick to do that, whether you're on the floor or on a chair, is to push down. If you just take your hands and just push down a little bit and lift up so that the weight is just pulled off of your lower spine. And then let your body sink back down. There's a little bit of straightening that can happen. Another thing that's helpful if you're in a chair sometimes is to take a cushion, something like this perhaps, and roll it up and stick it right behind the small of your back so that there's a little bit of support right in the small of your back. That will often help to really allow the middle and upper back to relax. So then if you can just relax your shoulders back. Here's another one too, if somebody wants another one. Let your shoulders relax back. See if you can keep your chest just slightly opened. a good trick that one teacher showed me to kind of relax the upper back and open the shoulders is to start by lifting one shoulder to your ear and then bringing the arm in front of you and out and around behind you, and then let it come and relax down. And that kind of opens up the shoulder just a little bit. And then you can do it with the other arm. So that there's a sense of opening and relaxing. It's helpful to think of your spine as just a supporting column of bones. They do actually stack. The bones of the spine do actually stack. I've seen a spinal column, just the bones, and there's a place with the bones, if you hold it by just the very tip of the sacrum, that the whole spinal column just stacks one on top of the other and stays erect. So there's a place where the whole spine will balance and you can relax around it. So if you can find that place, it's hard because many of our musculatures are kind of tuned to particular positions. But just experiment with that particular image, that the bones will stack and balance. And then you can relax around that balance. You don't really need to use muscles to hold you up if you can find that balance point. It's helpful to have the hands in a symmetrical position, either on your legs like this or in your lap like this, someplace where they're comfortable and not pulling you forward. Sometimes, like in this position, sometimes I find if my hands are here, it kind of pulls me forward a little bit. So it works for me to have them here or to have something that I can prop up my hands on, like this. So that can be helpful sometimes, to have something where you can prop your hands up like this, and it also can let your arms rest a little bit. And then again, keeping your head kind of balanced on the end of your spine. And a trick I learned as a dancer was to lift from behind the ears. It kind of is an interesting, just the feeling of just lifting, as if your head is being pulled up from behind your ears. It kind of adds a little space on the top of your spine and allows it to balance there. We generally have our mouth closed if possible. It's not always possible if you have a cold or something, difficulty breathing. But if your mouth is closed, it won't tend to get as dry. So with the mouth closed, the tongue relaxed, the jaw relaxed as much as possible, and the eyes closed. With this technique, we do practice with our eyes closed. So now that you're sort of in a posture, we'll go ahead and start a guided meditation. Yeah. Oh, just relaxed, wherever they feel most relaxed. There shouldn't be any strain around your eyes. So just the most relaxed around the muscles of your eyes as you can be. So we'll start by just making sure we're all in a comfortable, upright, and alert posture. And gently close your eyes. It's helpful to start a period of meditation with a couple of setup exercises that remind us what we're doing to be present. So start by taking a couple of long, slow, deep breaths. Connect with your body and a sense of presence on the in-breath. And see if you can let go and relax on the out-breath. Use this deep breath as a reminder to be present, to train the mind to be in the same place as the body. And now let the breathing return to normal. Mindfulness meditation is not a breathing exercise. We simply try to watch the breath as it is. As a second setup exercise, it's helpful to spend a few minutes scanning through the body for places of tension and letting go of that tension. So start at the top of your head and scan down through the body. See if you can let go of any tension in the crown of your head, around your eyes, in your forehead, behind your ears, in your cheeks, around your mouth. See if you can let go of any tension in your jaw, in your neck, let go of any tension you're holding inside your throat. Relax your shoulders. Your upper back. Across your collarbone. Let go of any tension in your arms. In your elbows. In your wrists, in the palms of your hand, in your fingers, let go of any tension around your rib cage. The front of your rib cage, the back of your rib cage. Let go of tension in your solar plexus, your abdomen. Your lower back. See if you can let go of any tension inside your organs. Relax your lungs, relax your stomach, your intestines, your heart. See if you can relax your hips and your pelvic cavity, your buttocks. Relax your thighs, your hamstrings. Let go of any tension in your knees, in your shins, in your calves. Relax your ankles. The tops of your feet. The bottoms of your feet. Your toes. Now take a moment to see if you can bring an attention to your whole body sitting here. Just noticing the uprightness of your spine, the contact of your butt with the chair, the cushion or bench, and within your body, within these sensations of your body, see if you can become aware of the sensations that let you know that you're breathing. Notice how your body feels the breathing. How do you know that you're breathing? What sensations inform you of this? There are a number of places where you might feel the sensations of breathing. You might feel it in your nostrils as the air comes in and out of your nostrils. You might feel it in the back of your throat or on your palate. You might feel the rising and falling movement or expanding and contracting movement around your rib cage. You might feel it in the rising and falling movement of your abdomen. Wherever you feel the sensations of breathing most clearly and most easily, let your attention rest with those sensations. Let yourself feel the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. When you're breathing in, know that you're breathing in. When you're breathing out, know that you're breathing out. If you find that the mind wanders and has lost contact with the sensations of breathing, relax. And just gently let the attention return back to the sensations of breathing. It can be helpful to gently use a mental label for each part of the breathing. In, when you're breathing in, out, when you're breathing out, or perhaps rising and falling if you're paying attention to the chest or the abdomen. You can use a thought to help encourage the mind to stay present with what you're attending to. If you find the mind wandering, it can also be helpful to recognize the mind is wandering. Use a label to note thinking or wandering. And then gently come back to the in and out of the breathing. Right now, there's nothing else you need to do. Just breathe in and out, as if it were the most important thing you could do.